Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hold on, I need to sneeze. Sorry about that. No, I don't need to sneeze anymore. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, actually. Danny is still out. We wish her quick recovery. She went to the hospital and stuff, but she's okay. And she'll be back soon. But I do have a couple of great guests in the studio. I wanted to let you know, if you want to listen on Facebook Live and actually see us there, as usual, go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook, and you can see us there. You can share. You can do whatever you want with it. But we are there. So let me introduce our guests. Mr. Mark DeVoe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you brought Kiyoshi with you.
Yes.
Kiyoshi, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam.
You don't have to be shy, Mark. Go ahead.
I'm not shy.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. This guy doesn't seem shy to me at all. Yeah, welcome to the show, guys. You made appreciate a drive it from San Diego this morning.
Yeah.
We really appreciate that. How was the drive? What, 3 hours or something? Four? The traffic is horrendous.
Yeah, we got out of there. We actually just scooted past all that.
Really?
We were in a little bit of traffic, but we got.
But you got here 2.5 hours maybe?
Almost three.
Almost three.
Almost three, right. Yeah. Without traffic, it's about two, right?
Yeah.
But it never works that way anymore.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're driving super late at night or super early.
Exactly.
Even then, you still have that challenge.
Right. I know the freeways here are 24/7, you know.
Right, right.
They're like living organisms, you know. They never stop.
It's always.
So it's amazing, you know. But in San Diego, you don't have as bad a traffic, right?
I challenge that yeah, in certain times of the year.
Yeah. It's crazy out there sometimes.
Yeah, you guys get tourists and everything, a lot of tourists. But let me tell you know, people tell me, you know what, in every big city, there's traffic jams. And I say, that's correct. You know, I mean, I've been to several places and stuff, I know. But the difference is here we have distances, very big distances. So when you're in traffic for a long time.
Totally.
You know? It's like, you know, if you're like in San Diego, how long does it take to go across town? Come on.
Yeah.
So even with traffic, you know, 15 minutes you're there, you know? Here it's an hour, you know? That's why they say LA traffic is bad, and I concur on that one, having lived here a long time. And things have changed, you know? It didn't always used to be like this. So, and it's only getting worse because I see so many new cars coming on the road every day, but you don't see any cars leaving, you know? Cars last forever now, you know? So where's everybody going to go, you know?
I don't know,
but I'm planning on leaving here
they
soon.
Just keep widening the freeway.
Right.
Now just going into the sidewalks.
Right. Can you imagine them doing construction on these freeways, man? I mean, they'd shut down the city forever.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't know. I need to get out also because, you know what? Once we have a big earthquake and stuff, you won't even have traffic jams. You won't have traffic, period.
You won't have any freeways.
You know, I mean, yeah, no freeways, no nothing. Everybody with a gun out for, you know, to protect themselves.
No, we hope not.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I foresee that kind of scenario. I guess I've seen too many earthquake movies, right?
Yeah. Too much Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Yeah, San Andreas. Did you see San Andreas?
Yeah.
Man, that was scary, you know.
It seems like every earthquake movie has it like opening like into like 5 miles wide
and, that's true, right? And you can't go anywhere
happens, right?
Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't happen, at least not before I move out of here. So I mean, look, I don't hate LA, you know, I like LA, but I've lived here 43 years. That's a long time, you know. You kind of just say, all right, enough of that, and let me just try something else, you know, because I've been to other places and I feel like I can live here. You know, I almost moved to Oregon to a house on the lake. So, and then I had to change my plans, you know, because I had to stay here because of the business and everything. But that sure looked nice, let me tell you. Where did you grow up, Mark?
I grew up in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
So in Massachusetts.
Yeah, back in
Is that Boston. Like outside Boston or something?
You saw the movie The Perfect Storm, George Clooney. That's the city of Gloucester.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Oh, wow. Danny's from Boston, too. Too bad you guys, she's not here today.
Well,
but
we'll wish her well-being, though. We make sure she's
Exactly. Tell me something. So you grew up there. So that's like a beach town, right?
Yeah, beach town, Gloucester.
Because obviously, if a movie about a boat,
big fishing town.
Is it nice there?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, huh?
It's beautiful. You know, 4 months out of the year, and then as the winter sets in, it gets longer and longer.
It does.
Talking to my family, it seems to be getting longer. Really? I'm out here in San Diego, so they're just. They're just confused when they see me in shorts and at Thanksgiving.
So. Yeah, all right. So what made you move? What made you leave there?
So I actually joined the Marine Corps. I was in the Marine Corps, and I was stationed at Camp Pendleton from '93 to '97.
Really?
I got injured in a training accident out here, and ended up getting out honorably, but had had back surgeries and multiple surgeries.
Oh my god!
So I'm a disabled vet, and so I moved back to Boston in 98, and then came back out here in 2007. I had some changes in my life and came back out here to pursue something a little bit bigger.
Oh, myself. Wow. So, very cool, man. Well, we salute you. You know, we love our troops and stuff and our veterans and everything. People don't realize how much you put into something like that, right?
Yep.
Where did you grow up, Kiyoshi?
Yeah, I'm from Michigan, Midwest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, born in Saginaw, then moved to Ypsilanti, Michigan, later on in life. So
never heard of these places before. What the hell are they?
I know, right? It's a weird sounding city.
Cool. Yeah. So do you have any siblings? Did you grow up with brothers, sisters?
I'm the middle child, so I got two older brothers, two little sisters.
Oh, five kids.
Five kids, yeah. Big
wow.
Family.
How do you stand out in a family that big? What do you do?
I know. I'm the middle child, so I'm always like telling people what to do and control, you know, keep the peace.
that's true. But that's a lot of attention required from the parents, right?
Yeah.
How many kids were you guys in the family?
Well, I have four. I had three other siblings.
Oh, okay.
A brother and two sisters.
All right.
Yeah, big
So you're the same
family.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah, big Italian family.
Very cool.
I'm the oldest, though. I was the oldest. You were the middle child.
Big bro.
Yeah. That's big families, you know? I mean, I see families with two or three, and all the kids fight for attention.
Right.
What do you do with five, you know?
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had a child actor here from Ireland, and his mom also. They're five kids, and she says, you know, each kid is their own world, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know how I could do that. With two kids, it's hard to keep track.
My grandmother had 13 brothers and sisters.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
how do people do this, Mark?
It was the Sicilian Catholic way.
So the kids raise each other, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, my grandfather was fisherman. My grandfather was a fisherman. So, they constantly take care of themselves.
Yeah. And what did your dad do?
My dad was an electrician.
I see.
Yeah.
So a fisherman, an electrician. That's cool. And what did you want to pursue in life, let's say, when you went into the military?
Well, I just wanted to travel, actually. My dad was in the Army, and my grandfather was in the Navy. And I told them that I wanted to be tougher than both of them, so I joined the Marine Corps.
Wow.
I was 18 years old. I was in Gloucester. You know, I just wanted to, you know, see what was out there, you know, and I wanted to also serve my country. I was always, you know, it was just after Desert Storm.
Right.
So I was really, you know, patriotic. I've always been patriotic and wanted to, you know, serve our country. And so I came out here and, you know, luckily my recruiter was a little bit smarter than I was. And he was like, cause I was like, I want to be the hardest thing I can do. What can I be? And he was like, well, you have good test scores. So we want to make sure you're in the right
place, we don't want to throw you in the fire.
So they ended up sending me out here, and I joined Light Armored Reconnaissance, which is like a 14-ton vehicle with eight wheels, and we got to ride around in the desert.
Whoa!
Blow a bunch of things up. Right. It was a lot of fun. But yeah. Luckily, I was in the time during the Clinton era where there wasn't, you know, not a lot of war. I mean, Bosnia was going on and Somalia right. was going on when I was there.
That's in the '90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I got out, and then I tried to get back in after September 11th, but because of my back injury, they wouldn't allow me to come back in.
Wow! Wow! That sucks. Huh? So you have to deal with that injury for the rest of your life, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yoshi, what about you? You grew up in Michigan, family of five kids.
Yes, sir.
What were you doing? Did you, after high school, let's say, what did you decide to do? Did you know what you wanted to do?
I always wanted to do music after after college.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted to pretty much do what I'm doing now, except more.
So you're living your dream now, huh?
You're
making your plans actually work.
Making it happen, yeah.
Wow, sure. You see, that's the way to do it, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did initially work in, you know, I used to substitute teach for a little bit. Then I got into some of the laboratory work in a hospital, University of Michigan.
Uh-huh.
So I was like doing EKGs and blood gas samples in early 2000s, mid 2000s, up until the time I moved to California.
And you find that pleasurable?
No, not at all. To pay the bills. Cool. I mean, but I was still doing music at the time. And then I eventually got out and pursued more music. Moved out here in 2011. So, yeah.
Awesome. And we'll get to that, of course, to the reason you're here and what you guys are doing and everything. Just trying to get a little background.
Yeah.
So, did you go to college then?
I did. I went to Eastern Michigan University, which is in Ypsilanti. It's like a half hour outside of Detroit.
Oh, so that's why you live there, right? Because you moved there because of college?
I grew up in Michigan, so I grew up in Saginaw until I was like 11 in the early 90s, and then we moved down to Ypsilanti.
Oh, I see. So you moved there before you went
to before
college.
I went to college, yeah. But actually, my college was in the same city.
Yeah,
so
that's
same high
cool.
school, same city, in the same... Yeah,
that's very cool. Did you get to travel a little bit after, after college?
Yeah,
before
I traveled a little bit, did a little touring. Ann Arbor, Detroit, little surrounding areas, a little bit in Toronto and Chicago. Yeah.
Did you grow up in an environment of music, music all around you?
Absolutely. So
I guess it has to happen, right, for you to love music.
Yeah, for sure. My father was actually a music teacher for many years. He still is today. He retired for a bit a couple years ago, but he got back into it. So, yeah, growing up in Michigan, just music was always a part of my family and just always around me. I used to play guitar when I was like a little kid, and then I got into rapping when I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
we're going to hear some of your music in a little bit. I mean, I'm really curious to hear you and stuff. So what made you move to L.A.?
Yeah, I moved to San Diego.
San Diego. That's
close
right.
Enough.
See, I totally forgot.
It's all good.
You've been here 10 minutes. I totally forgot.
He's already.
And we had a big conversation in San Diego, too, right?
Yeah.
It's just you where my mind is. All right,
you're good,
go on.
It's the morning. So I lived in Michigan until right before I turned 30, and that was the plan. So when I was in my late 20s, I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to go somewhere else. It's going to be Chicago or New York because it's still big cities closer to home.
Right.
And I can still pursue a lot of music, and they have a lot of, you know, awesome music scenes there. But I visited San Diego in 2010 for a self-help seminar and decided just to kind of get settled here. I'll find a job, which I did, and moved out here, or not here, but in San Diego. I moved in 2011, found a job as a college admissions counselor. And then I was still pursuing music. And I figured if I it's close enough to L.A. to where, as if I wanted to move there, you know, I'd get settled in San Diego, have a foundation there, and then move a
couple
hours away.
Good for you, yeah. So, I mean, did you, like, actually explore L.A. and San Diego, or how did you decide to San Diego? Because most people come to Hollywood.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I visited L.A. a couple times before I moved to California.
Uh-huh.
And San Diego, I was just there that one weekend. And, I mean, I talked to a lot of people, and they're like, yo, it's a super amazing place to live, blah, blah, blah. The research did. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah,
I should just find a job there. And then exactly. I got a job through my friend where I was making more money than I was back home. So I figured it was like, okay, this is easy.
Right.
Totally moved there, taken care of by the job, and see what happens from there.
So, yeah. So, and you mentioned, so obviously you've been around education quite a bit. You substituted.
Yeah.
You worked here as a counselor, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So how did you end up in education? Did you have any influence that got you into it?
Yeah. So my father, he's, like I said, he's a music teacher
right.
for many years. So when I was substitute teaching, I was working in the high school that he was working in. So I kind of got in through him. And then, yeah, and then the college admissions counseling job, just through a friend, just kind of just worked itself out like that.
Right.
And
but you see, Mark, he's realistic because he's pursuing music, but he still knows you got to make a living.
Bills.
Exactly. You got to make a living. Yeah. A lot of people come to L.A. and they don't realize that, you know. They just sit around waiting for a job to fall in their lap.
Yeah.
And they're like, God, I can't pay my rent. Well, go get a freaking job, right, right. you know. People don't like to work in this town. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to take care of them bills. It's real.
Yeah. So very cool. So how long were you in the military then before you got injured? So
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, so 93 to 97.
Wow. I salute people that do. I really got to tell you because, first of all, coming from Israel, over there everybody has to go to the military at 18, you know.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so it's sort of like it's a people's military, so everybody knows everybody, you know, and if something happens, you know, everybody knows about it and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I respect that. Plus, to me, the definition of the word hero is someone who would risk their lives for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not people that win soccer games and all that bullshit, you know. I mean, that's not heroes, you know. Those are, that's great performance and everything. But you're not sacrificing anything for anybody, you know.
Right.
So that's what I think. So you're a hero in my book.
Thank you very
much. Marc DeVoe, of course.
Superhero.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of friends that have been in the Israeli army. And they
really?
Told me, yeah. Just friends that I've met over the years. And,
You see, I'm one that fell through the cracks. I never got the chance to because I left Israel at 16. And so that was before that.
Yeah.
And then once I created a life here and everything, I was too old for them to do anything with. You know, once you're 30 years old, it's like, hey, man, you're out of commission. That's, you know, you're just in reserves now. You know? That's the way it is, you know. So very cool. So, Mark, you... So you found your home in San Diego and everything, and then you were drawn into music as well?
Yeah, I've been in and out of the music, you know, what I would say the music business since I was little.
Really?
You know, I've been, like, it was kind of always a passion side project. I never was actually a musician, but I was always the guy that was helping the band promote. I'll never forget it. In seventh grade, I made a wood sign and wood shop for the band that was performing at the little things like that, you know. And so I've always had just loved music, loved what music meant to people, you know. And I didn't have, you know, musicians in my household. My mom did play the clarinet when she was younger, but I didn't have a lot of music around in other than the radio. And so listening to Billy Joel and stuff like that really inspired me. My younger aunts actually had 8-tracks.
Yeah, and, I remember those.
Yeah, and it was like Led Zeppelin and,
and all of those. 70s, and 80s. Like,
and it was funny, my senior year of high school, I had a Opel GT, 1969 Opel GT that I got from working, and it had an 8-track player in it. And I went to my mom's house, and it was still all the 8-tracks still sitting right there. And,
right.
And everybody's like, what is an 8-track in high school? So it was fun.
Yeah. Now, you're much younger. Do you know what 8-tracks are?
I do.
No, really?
I never really used them, but I've heard stories.
Yeah, right?
Just a little before my generation.
I'm feeling old.
That's school. What I'm saying. But those were like big tapes, you know?
Yeah.
And wow, I know. And to me, it was like a weird format, you know, because we already had cassette tapes, you know. So then to come out with something like this, it's like, what for, you know?
Right.
But it lets you skip directly to songs like on a CD.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it lets you do. But otherwise, it was garbage. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 70s, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, I remember those days. You know, in the 70s, I lived in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I came from Israel. I was 16 years old, and I lived in Vegas. And the times then were so cool, you know, because anything went, you know. So I remember Chevy vans and everything, all the partying and all the 8-tracks and all the music and everything. And, you know, Eagles and Led Zeppelin and all that. So a lot of music back then. Did you guys notice, though, that most of the classic music was produced and written in the 70s. I mean, do you agree with that? Or would you say, like, because, I mean, some of the classics, like, when you think about it, you know, even the Beatles were so, 60s, but you had Led Zeppelin and the Eagles and Aerosmith and the Rolling Stones and all that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, songs from the 90s, they're not classics. You know what I'm saying? But maybe it's just my generation. I don't know.
It's a whole set of different classics.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the grunge classics. Yeah. They call those.
So what did you decide to do then? You had this appeal to music.
So I had, always had appeal to music. And so I managed bands back in Boston. And I helped out bands and, you know, and I also a serial entrepreneur. So I own companies and I have that business mind. So
really,
you know, when I'm talking to the artist and they're like, I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm like, well, what's your plan?
Right.
And they're like, well, we're going to go do it. I go, well, that's not a plan.
Exactly. That's a wish. Right.
And so I was like, oh, and I just noticed that, you know, it was just, I'd like to be the support. And not only that, I was always the, you know, offensive lineman in football. I was always the guy that never got the MVP. You know, I got the sportsman, you know, trophy.
But no recognition. The
sportsmanship trophy. Right. And so working with artists for me was, you know, was, I like to see the success of the artists. I love to see them when they actually get to, fully self-expressed on stage. So that was something that I always liked.
Yeah.
The problem with that is just what you said before was the money. It was you know, you had a lot of money, then you didn't have any money. And then you take somebody on tour and you didn't have no money. And so it was constantly like that. Or it was the guys that wanted to just be artists and not have to work. And, you know, and you have to do that. You can't do that. And so I, you know, stepped out of it. And then I moved out here, back out here in 2007. And about 2008, my cousin, John Goodhue, he moved out here from Boston. And he was a musician. And he knew about my background and was like, oh, I want you to manage me. Can you help me? And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. You're my cousin. I'll support you. So for 3 years, I watched him grow, like just on his own. And it was really amazing to see somebody, you know, from coming out as a, you know, kid and just really growing into the music. But I was like, you got to move to LA.
Yeah,
you can't do it in San Diego. He was in San Diego. And I'm like, you know, and so he ended up moving to LA. And I watched him grow. In 2011, we sat down and had a conversation. I was like, okay, I'm ready to help you.
Really? That he was able to actually do some work on his own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, and I had some connections. Being into music, I had done some DJing on my own, and I'd met some people, you know, in the industry. Trey Daniels, who's the bass player for POD down in San Diego, is a good friend of mine, and we ended up meeting at a party. And I was like, "Hey, you got to take a look at John." And he was like, "I really love him. I want to produce on his album." And I was like, "There's the marketing piece that I would need to help launch this." I'm like, "What am I going to call it?" And I said, "I'll call it Buddha Music Group," because I was Buddha Music as a DJ, and then he came out, and I'm like, "Well, I'm DJing, and you're playing guitar, so we're Buddha Music Group."
Wow!
And so that's kind of how it all started. And as I, you know, as we grew with it, I started to see other artists in San Diego I had a lot of coaches, I had a lot of mentors, and one of them, you know, was saying, well, what are you doing this for? You know, are you doing it for the artist? Are you doing it to make money? What are you doing this for? And so I went through, you know, some coaching and learned a little bit about, you know, really went internal and looked and said, why am I going to do this? What am I doing this for?
Right.
And I really wanted to make it so that it was more of a transformational piece where, you know, John was putting out real good, conscious, positive music, even though sounded like he was in the 90s, which is funny because he sounds like
not to insult the 90s, right, you know, but that's what's going on.
The 90s were a big thing for him, so his music was very, very inspired by that. We came to LA and he ended up going on tour with the band, and it was really, really a good experience for me. But again, really finding out, why am I doing this? And his music had a lot of positive lyrics, and it was coming from a space of love, and I was like, this is really good. I mean, I would notice people like come into these shows and be, you know, either angry or whatnot, and they'd be leaving like really happy. Wow, I was like,
I'm really curious to hear this now. Do you guys have this online? I want to listen to some of this.
John's here. John's back. He actually he moved back to Boston.
We'll hear maybe something because now you got me curious about this guy. You know?
Totally.
But since Kiyoshi's here, we're going to talk about Kiyoshi.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up before it was, you know, it was John, and as we built Buddha Music Group, we realized I had some, you know, some real skills to help other artists.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to do is really inspire the artist and help coach the artist along in business and their own life. And what, you know, and
that's amazing. So all this experience that you've gained, you wanted to pass this on and help other people and stuff. You see, God bless you, man. Not a lot of people are like that, you know, and where they devote. I mean, you put your money where your mouth is, you know, because you're like devoting yourself to something that is beyond yourself.
That's
right?
Yeah. I always say that. I say Buddha is much bigger than me and everybody around me.
It's
bigger than that. And I hope that it carries on through my children and through their children's children.
Yeah.
It's really providing a safe space for artists to perform and be fully self-expressed. It's really, really hard in this, especially in this industry, to break in, you know, and you know, if you don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to go out and promote an artist, it's really hard to break into that.
I can imagine. There's so much competition, you know. Totally. Did you notice that as one of the first things when you came here, how many people want to do the same thing you do?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people rapping, doing music, singing, just trying to make it in general, for sure. I just know there's a lane for everybody. I believe there's an abundance in the world, in the universe. So, you know, there's more, there's definitely enough for everybody.
Right.
But as far as they're trying to make it in like the general standard, you know, like Universal, BMG, Sony, all just the regular industry, it is going to be hard for sure. So, but right now we're living in a digital world where there's so much opportunity for people to capitalize and find
and
their own
create
niche.
Things themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have to go begging a record company or whatever.
Yeah.
To take you, you can reach the world pretty much, and if people like your music, bam.
Yeah, you go.
Yep. Yeah.
True.
Very interesting. So now, what's with the name Kiyoshi? Is this your real name?
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. So,
a little background story.
Because, I mean, you must have been told this a million times, but it sounds Japanese, right?
Yeah,
I mean, even the way it's spelled.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard that many times.
Right.
Because it is Japanese.
Uh-huh.
So my mom's, I'm half Pacific Islander. My mom was born in the Marshall Islands, which is in the Pacific Ocean.
Uh-huh.
On the islands, her mom was half Marshallese and half Japanese.
I see.
So her mom was Japanese. So
I see.
My mom was kind of raised in that like Japanese Asian type of culture upbringing,
And she wanted to maintain that.
Yeah, pretty
in
much.
Her son. Yeah,
she liked that. And my dad's black dude. She married and named all her kids. Me and my siblings, all of us Japanese names.
Really?
So it's Yoshiko, Yoshimi, Kiyoshi, Saburo, and Akira.
Wow.
Yeah, we all got Japanese names.
Amazing. But anyway,
I know, I meet people, they're like, you don't look Japanese. That sounds Japanese. How'd you get that name? Do you speak it?
Do you speak Japanese?
I know, right? Yeah, I went through this whole story since I was like a million times since I was a little kid.
I mean, you got to tell your mom, what were you thinking, mom?
Right.
You know, I mean, I always have to explain my name,
Right?
People expect a Japanese guy to walk in the door, and it's me, you know?
Right. When I fill out Japanese, you know, or not Japanese, when I fill out applications or, you know, like people see my name somewhere, then I pop in. They're like, what the hell? I thought it was like a Japanese girl or something. I'm like, nope. They're like a black dude.
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but that's cool. I mean, I like the name because it stands out.
Yeah, thanks.
You're using it only as a first name and, you know, in your stage, I guess, stage name.
Right.
It's just your first name, right?
Yeah, it's my first name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to go by Yoshi and then I got a little more mature, and I was like, I should go by my first name and just embrace that. And so
exactly.
Add the KI and just, you know, embraced it. And Kiyoshi, just kept it. It's my first name. And so I'm part of a yogi community in San Diego. I do a lot of yoga and a bunch of other hippie fun stuff.
Really?
And so, so a lot of the homies are like, I thought that was your spiritual name. I didn't know that was your first name. And then the music people are like, what? I thought that was your stage name. I didn't know that was your real name. So I'm like, it's my spiritual name. It's my musician name.
It's my actual
name. And my actual name.
Yeah, but you need someone new. He has spent half an hour just explaining his name.
Right. Exactly. It's a good icebreaker, though.
It is.
Yeah,
right?
When I was a little kid, they were like, what? And then I was like, man, I'm tired of explaining. But then as like, I grew older, it was like, you know, the ladies liked it. And it was like icebreaker when I meet strangers. And it became cool. And so, yeah.
That's funny.
Man. I know, man.
Well, that's your destiny. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, there's people that go based on your name. Like in numerology and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
And they say if you change your name, your fate changes, you know, too. So, you know, it's like your destiny and stuff because
right.
It's a different combination. You sort of like become a different personality or at least a different approach or attitude or something, you know. But it's interesting. I don't know if it works or not, but people say that it does, you know.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I have a lot of friends that actually have changed their name.
Really?
Yeah. The different,
did they change their luck too, their fortune?
Maybe they know that, you know, they believe, like you said, they believe that, yeah, the name has a lot of, yeah, you carry like a certain character or energy with that name, and
exactly,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
I don't know, there's a lot of truth to that,
yeah. That's cool. You're talking about energies and stuff. I like talking about energies too. Mark, are you like a down to earth kind of person? Do you have spirituality in your life?
Yeah. That's,
do you?
Yeah, that's kind of similar. You know, I grew up Catholic, like I told you, but I'm definitely much more spiritual than I when I grew up Catholic. I came out here, I found out there was things bigger than me.
Right.
And that's kind of, I think that's kind of how the approach, you know, with Buddha.
Right. You know, exactly. And you got the Buddha. Obviously I had to put two and two together there. Yeah.
Everybody asked me if I'm Buddhist. I'm not. A bunch of years ago, I would see a Buddha and I'm like, it called to me like energetically. And
really?
I started buying them and I brought them all out to California. It was, a lot of them were from back in Boston. And, when I met my wife, she's like, where, you got all these Buddhas. Are you Buddhist? I'm like, no. I'm just spiritual. And, you know, and so,
there must be some kind of a disorder there.
Okay,
I mean, who does that? Who collects Buddhas? You know?
Make me feel good.
Exactly. You know? More power to you.
Maybe it's because I had a little
chub. Belly.
Yeah, with the belly and rubbing the belly. Maybe it was
bald headed.
Yeah, bald headed. Yeah. I could associate. You know?
But hey, people have done weirder things, so don't worry about it.
Totally.
Yeah. So, Kiyoshi, you have some music online?
I do.
Okay,
Spotify.
We're on YouTube.
Spotify.
Yeah, all the above. Spotify, YouTube.
Okay,
SoundCloud,
I have YouTube links here, so I can go to YouTube. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what do I look for? Just your name?
Yeah, you can look Kiyoshi Music. KIYOSHI.
Okay, there we go.
Music. KIYOSHI. Music.
Yeah, okay, we got it. All right, so, which one? The first one?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, this one. No, that's your channel.
Yeah, that's my channel.
Okay, mix. Or actually, there's one Kiyoshi Music.
Neil Newman actually. He directed it.
Let me stop it. What's that now? Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that Neil Newman, who was just here shooting photography for us, he actually directed and filmed that video right there.
Oh, I see.
The video
you're
playing right now.
Yeah, well, people won't be able to see the video, but I want to listen to some of the music.
Yeah, play it out.
So is this a good song to play then?
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
We were just talking about this song on the way up here.
Yeah, we were.
Really?
Yeah, because, yes.
What were you saying about it?
Well, because my wife is pregnant right now, and my son's name's going to be Lucian.
Uh-huh.
Lucian means light.
Okay.
And so, and our PR, Brigetta, we're talking about Brigetta. She,
right.
Her son's going to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same name. And I was like, they got their own theme song.
Yeah.
I'm the light.
Lucid. Wow.
Right.
That's
crazy.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking about Brigetta, I mean, I'm like totally shocked that she's pregnant because she's been like the biggest single woman I know. Not that she jumps, not that she jumps from one to another, but she's been a free spirit for as long as I've known her, and maybe 8 years or something like that, you know, so
amazing.
I've known her for a while, and suddenly out of nowhere, she's like, hey, I'm pregnant, you know, on social media.
She's it. She's going to be an amazing mother.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's
wow.
She's an amazing mother, so.
Very
love you,
cool.
Brigetta.
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to Brigetta who made this possible today. Let's listen to some of the Kiyoshi music.
Yoshi, listen. Life is a gift to all those few who may choose to receive. Sweeter than juice from mango fruit hanging loose from a tree. Just visualize this like a lucid dream. You would agree. Complaining is of no use.
where the tube will heal you from disease. I got too many things to be thankful for. Food, family, and shelter. I truly felt the weight of my faith is grown. Now my heart is open, following all these omens. My golden cup of atonement, overflowing in the present moment. And now, expressing thanks like I won a Grammy. Feeling so righteous like the sunny weather down in Cali. Supreme love and light's what I spread like a butter knife upon bread. Now they wonder why in my head, cause my soul is set ablaze like a great fire. Inspiring so much they call me Wayne Dyer. Yeah. Glimmering, flickering, coming from Michigan, shining so bright. Up in San Diego, somewhat of an angel, cause I am the light.
Now this is the part I like, you see?
Sing it, Bart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Krista Richards.
Residing in me is the very same light that's residing in you. Cheering your system like lemon and ginger for flus. Pure and magnificent, it'll improve what you do when you chew what you cool in the cud. Like a volcano, I'm about to be
rubbed. That's a lot of words, yeah. Very fast.
Right.
But it's just I gotta continue balancing all of my chakras. Got all of the power shining like a dress you wear.
Oh, very cool, Kiyoshi. I like that.
Thank you, sir.
Very cool stuff. So you write your music too, your own songs?
Yeah, I write my own lyrics and song structure, arrangement, and then I work with producers,
right?
Different people to help compose the musical accompaniments. Right. In this particular case, my brother, oldest brother, Akira Shelton, he produced this track. And then featuring on the song is my amazing musical partner, Miss Krista Richards, singing the chorus.
Oh, wow. She does music with you?
Yeah,
you guys sing together and stuff?
Yeah, she's a great friend, awesome roommate, and reason
why we met.
Yeah, actually Mark's cousin.
Yeah, she's
and we're all very connected. So she's a dear sister.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So you provided support for him?
So I actually worked with Krista as well. She was part of Buddha Music Group for a while. She's still supported by Buddha Music Group. She's still family. In working with her, she was like, you got to work with this guy, Kiyoshi. And,
right.
And I said, what? What is his name? No, I'm just kidding. and so I ended up meeting him. And I immediately, as I heard Kiyoshi, I was like, I'm totally, you're right up the alley of what we're looking to put out in the world.
Wow, you see how people connect? Yeah, it's unbelievable, man.
Right.
Yeah. It's all in the soul, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some kind of connections that we can't understand on a conscious level, but you know, who knows? You know, subconscious, you don't know what's going on there, you know?
Yeah.
So you have Buddha Music Group, and you provide support. Now, if somebody wanted to start a career and stuff, would you be somebody they would come to?
I talk to a lot of artists. You know, it's from a structure standpoint, it's hard for me to take on every artist.
Obviously,
And I get a lot of requests to, you know, hey, can I sit down and talk with you? And I try to give everybody time to, you know, to
at least
them.
Talk to them totally. Stuff. Yeah,
yeah, because I mean they're getting doors shut in their face left and right. And
that's not true.
You know, and I want to inspire them, so I want to keep inspiring them. Like Kiyoshi said, there's room for music in the world.
That's true.
And it may not be something that you like or I like, but it's, you know, it's a self expression. So I like to see that out in the world. So yeah, I try to give everybody an opportunity to do that. Yeah,
very cool, man. I really like that. Do you have another song here, Kiyoshi, that we can play, or is that?
I do.
I see I Am Love. Is that pretty good?
I did Love Warrior.
Love Warrior?
Yeah.
Which one? Because I can't find it here. Hold on a second. You can take this off.
Or Ethereal.
I don't see any of them here
you too.
That you just mentioned.
If you look up Kiyoshi DTO.
Okay.
Here, I got you.
So this is, he's putting on another Buddha Music Group artist as well.
Okay.
What's it called?
This one? DTO Breath? No?
Ethereal?
Yeah, you can do Ethereal.
Ethereal. Okay, let's do Ethereal. Kiyoshi, folks. What's that?
This is also on the album DTO. Is it Infinite Energy?
Infinite Energy. And it's on Medicine Garden.
Also produced by our friend Ann Tyler.
Yeah.
So DTO and Ann Tyler produced this and are both featured on it.
Cool.
Rikyo Arma Amritam Kamaya
She's a good singer, huh?
Great one for yoga classes.
Yeah, right, I mean, that's quite different yeah. style for you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it slows it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Really mellow.
Wow, very mellow. Heavy breathing and everything. It
exactly.
sounds like Well, but I see there's like, in the picture, like chakra.
Yeah,
and, so it is a spiritual, sort of like to relax.
Yeah,
kind of song, right?
Yep,
meditate,
yep.
maybe.
Absolutely. So this was also was on my album, The Medicine Garden, and also DTO's album. We both shared the song on his Infinite Energy album, and both of our albums correspond. Each track corresponds to each chakra. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So mine starts from the root all the way to the crown, and DTO's goes from the crown to the root. So.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
concept.
I didn't know anything about that. Yeah. So which one is this one for?
This one's the seventh crown chakra.
Seventh.
Very ethereal, like all-knowing, universal.
Yeah.
The La Chakra.
That's true. I'm listening to this. I'm getting smarter by the
There you go. Yeah.
I'm seeing the light.
You're seeing the light. Yeah. Right, there you go. Becoming enlightened.
My actions are led by the universe. Raised from the sun, moving through the earth. Feeling as light as a feather, forever surrender. We treasure what's to occur. Infinite bliss, an intimate kiss of the spirit within. A miraculous gift, synchronistic with permission to live. Freely I fly, we're beyond all time.
I like this one.
Love.
That's my kind of music.
Right.
Yeah. The first one, I only like the chorus where you sing.
Too much rapping going on.
The hip hop.
Well, that's the thing with rap. It's like I feel like, I mean, I've listened to rap since Rapper's Delight, okay, in 1978 or something,
right?
Yep, so ever since then, there's been rap around, and I feel. There's nothing really innovative, you know, but look at you. You're mixing it with such music and stuff, you know, and it's like, it's unusual, you know. I mean, usually you don't get this kind of music.
Right. Yeah, I get a lot of times at my shows I perform at when there's like an older audience, like people my parents' age, and they're always like, oh my gosh, I don't usually like rap or hip hop, but your stuff, oh my goodness, what is this? I love it.
You see,
so, yeah,
that's the thing. You stand out in something, you know?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Very cool, man.
Yeah.
What language is she speaking?
Sanskrit.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the producer on this album, DTO, is also a Buddha Music Group artist. So, the event that we're doing this weekend is there. That's both of them.
Yeah. So cool. And let's get to the event because we're running out of time. So let's start talking about that. Now, what's going on? You guys going to be at Comic-Con?
Yeah. So Buddha Music Group supports one of the things that it does is it supports every event we do supports a fundraiser or it's a give back to community. So part of the things, a lot of them have to do with veterans charities. We do a lot of veterans stuff. We do a lot of at-risk kids and stuff like that. We've done a number of different things. Kiyoshi was involved with Connected Warriors. Yeah, Connected Warriors, and then generosity.org, which was giving water back to building wells overseas.
Yeah.
So this particular event is for the Kevin Workman Foundation, and he was a huge Comic-Con attendee and loved Comic-Con and worked at Qualcomm, and four of his buddies had gotten together after he passed. He unfortunately passed away and said, really need to do something. This guy was so vibrant and he was so into Comic-Con that they created a foundation for him that basically supplies money and scholarships, and they sponsor kids to go to Comic-Con. They fund schooling programs
cool is that,
and stuff
right?
like that. So
yeah.
So we did an event last year, and the the chairman saw the event and came to us and was like, hey, could you guys help us out?
Really?
And Paul Wynn, who's the chairman of the Kevin Workman Foundation, came to me and said, hey, we'd really love your events. We love how you produce it. You know, can you support us in this fundraising effort? And we were like, absolutely. This is something, Comic-Con's one of our favorite things. I know Kyoshi loves comics, and Dave does, and Krista does, and we're all big. I mean, being in San Diego, it's like the biggest weekend of the year.
It really is. I was there once. It was crazy.
Yeah, so we're doing this event on Saturday night, July 20th, at Kava Lounge. And the tickets are $20. It supports the fundraiser. There'll be a silent auction. We'll have like a red carpet, step and repeat, like photos and all kinds of stuff there. And Kyoshi, along with DTO, will be performing.
Right, Krista Richards.
And then we'll have late night with DJ Francis, who's also a supporting artist of Doc.
That's amazing, guys.
Yeah.
So how can people get in touch with the tickets? How do they find out? I guess they can go to your website.
They can go to the Buddha Music Group page on Facebook. They can go to Instagram. They'll see it on Instagram as well. And the Kevin Workman Foundation or KWF.org.
And your website too, right?
Yeah, my
website. Buddha Music Group.
The Facebook. We have a Facebook event as well, right on the Buddha Music Group page. So
awesome!
And that ticket, they can get tickets right from that page.
Yeah, yeah. Well, very cool, man. So we covered everything, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. And we're just running out of time. So, Kyoshi, how can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me, Kyoshi Music. So it's KYOSHI Music. Yeah, so I perform all over the world. I also do rap coaching. That's a newer business of mine. So I teach people how to rap. I teach them the fundamentals from creating a song to recording to performing. And I have a whole 5-pillar process I go through in my sessions.
How cool is that? Huh?
I do group sessions. And yeah, it's really, really amazing. And I've seen a lot of...
See, he likes to teach, man.
I told him. I'm a teacher.
I told him to freestyle for a little bit.
Yeah, I can do that.
Blood, you know?
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah, well, so. Kyoshi, good luck to you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Come back to see us when you're big and very famous and everything.
I'll be around, absolutely.
But yeah, it doesn't matter how big you get, though. If you get to do what you love... And especially music.
There you go.
Right?
Yep.
You don't have to be the best. You can just be like the best you can be.
Right.
And, you know, stand out, come up with your original stuff. And if that's what people want, they'll like it.
Yep.
There you go.
That's true.
And Mark DeVoe, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You're, like I said, you're an angel. I mean, you're helping people out, which not every person... is made for that, you know?
Thanks. Mark's got a big heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, really it's like with me, I took like a career test because I wanted to, because I want my son to take one. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see what it's like, right? So I took it based on me. And I realized when they ask about, do you like helping other people in ways like, you know, I was thinking like caregiving and hospital and this. And I said, no, you know, I'm totally not like that, you know. And then you have people like you who are totally like that, you know. So, and thank this for that.
Thanks, Brigetta. Yeah. So the tagline for Buddha Music Group is raising the vibration of the planet through art and music.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.